You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
This is Setting the Record Straight.
Guys have traveled internationally, but it's a lot of fun. I was doing the math last night, and I think I've traveled, I think something 13, 15 times outside of the country by air. Most of them are mission trips. And one of the things about traveling internationally is that you need to prove that you're a citizen of the United States. And so for you to do that, there are a couple of options. Option number one would be to track down the State Department of every country and let them know that you are a citizen of the United States. Call them, send them the official documents and all that. But my guess is there are countries that probably won't even want to talk to you. And there's probably other countries that just you're not going to be able to contact them anyway. And so the nice thing about international travel is that our government has done something for us. They have actually made a document that declares that you are a citizen of the United States. And we call it a passport. And the passport is actually, I don't know if you realize this, because I had to do some research because I knew you had to have one to travel, but it's actually an issue for you to come back into the country. It allows you to get back into the United States without any problems. And so the cool thing about this passport, about this little booklet, is that you show it and it gets you in. You show it and they let you back into the United States. Finish it up, Frank. But yeah, so the cool thing about this passport device is that you don't need to do anything to prove who you are. You don't need to do anything to get into the United States if you have one of these books. You don't need to do the work. You don't need to call all the places. You don't need to figure it out. However, when it comes to a passport, one thing you do need to do is apply. You have to take it costs some money. But you fill out an application, and unless you have like a criminal terrorist record, for the most part, you simply apply and you get your passport that proves and declares that you are a citizen of the United States and allows you to travel basically around the world. Now, there's some places right now that aren't, you know, friendly to travel to, but that's what a passport does for you. And so it's such an important thing to have. This is not my real current passport, just so you know. It's got the stamp through the front. The hole there because I don't trust myself to not lose it. Like, okay, it's time to travel. Where is it? But the thing about a passport is that you need this document to get. Oh wow, things are so different. These are my noise canceling headphones. You need this document in order to get in and out of the country, and you're not the one that determines how it works. The government does it for you. And so we are continuing this series called Setting the Record Straight. And if you are a church person or, you know, want to know the fancy church word for this, it's called soteriology is what we're studying in this series, looking at our legal record. And so what I want to talk to us about today, and we're gonna build all the put all the pieces together. So if you weren't here the last few weeks, hopefully it'll make sense in a little bit. But I want to talk about this idea of when it comes to for now we'll just say it this way: when it comes to getting into heaven, you don't need to do anything, nor can you do what it takes to get into heaven. You need someone to declare that you belong there. You need someone to make the statement that says, you are in, you are good, because you can't do it on your own. And so the point that I want us to get this week is this, and again, we'll come back and unpack this, is that because of Jesus, our record says that we're sinless. And the fancy word for this is called justification. And so we've talked about three different words, and we're going to review these later. We talked about condemnation. Last week we talked about substitution. And this week we're talking about justification, and we will wrap it up next week. But this idea of, because of what Jesus did on the cross, our record says that we're sinless. Jesus declared that we are sinless. And so our record is clear. We are justified in the sight of God. And we've been talking about with this series, and again, just if you've been here, sorry, but to review, the whole idea of our record in our culture is what matters. As we said the very first week, if John killed me and then threw me in his trunk, and a jury determined that John was not guilty, then he is free. Even though he did it, even though I'm still in his trunk, he was declared not guilty, and therefore he is free. And so that whole idea of our record is what matters when it comes to our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with all of those that have gone before us as humans. And again, we'll kind of there's a chair there, and we'll come back and review this in a little bit. But I want to look at this passage. To catch up where we were last week, we ended last week with what was called substitution, and we looked at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that it said God made him, meaning Jesus, who had no sin. Jesus was sinless, and again, we'll review this in a little bit with my models here, our helpers, who had no sin. Jesus was sinless, and then he became sin for us. He took our sin. We call that substitution. He took the sin that was ours. And then that kind of picks up where we're going this week, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus took our sin. He was our substitute, and then gave us his righteousness. He said, you are declared not guilty. And that is called justification. So that's where we were last week. And then to set us up where we're going this week, I want to talk about a few things. They're actually all found in Romans chapter 4. So if you have a Bible or the YouVersion app, we're going to be in Romans 4. We'll hit the house lights there. And Romans 4 is where we're going to be for a little bit. And I just want to tell you right now, the live stream crashed in the middle of the first song, and we could not get it back. So if you have people that are watching at home, the point is being recorded right now. I think we're recording that. But the live stream crashed, so I apologize. That's never happened before, but, you know. So I want to talk about this idea of our destination and how we have been declared. Just like our passport says no, if you walk into the United States Embassy or if you walk into customs in America and you show them your passport, they're like, come on in. And I don't know, again, if you've ever traveled internationally, I've been to Venezuela when I was in high school. I've been to Nicaragua a couple of times, places that aren't quite as friendly to the United States as some other countries might be. And I just remember, you know, you go through customs into another country, and like, I was about to say, what's the worst that can happen? But I actually was detained. typically, you go into a country like Mexico, and you're like, hey, it's Mexico, okay. But I just remember, you know, and I don't know if you've ever traveled internationally, like you go to the customs agent, and you give them your passport, and they're like, and suddenly I'm about to confess something. I don't know what. I didn't even do anything wrong, but I'm about to be like, yes, he put me in his trunk and killed me. Like, I don't know. There's like this, you get so panicked. And so that happens. Then you go into the country, like, you know, welcome, and they stamp you, and you go into their country. But coming into the United States, there's just something about, like, that you go to customs, and they still kind of look at you a little crazy because they want to make sure it's not a fake ID, and they're like, you had a lot more hair in this picture. Is that the same guy? But then as soon as they do, they're like, Mr. Fitch, welcome home. Enjoy your day. And it's just like, yeah, I belong here. I'm welcome. I've been declared that this is my place. This is my home. And so the idea of eternity with Jesus, eternity with God in heaven, for us, Jesus has made that declaration. He says, look, welcome home. You don't need to do the work. I've already done it for you. Welcome home. And so I want to talk about how that works and just explain it. And again, we said that the fancy word for this series is soteriology, and looking at how does this whole salvation, this whole rescue, this whole Christ follower thing work? How does it work? What are the nuances and the details of how it works? And so the first thing I want to just explain, and some of this is going to be totally review, some of this is going to be brand new, and some of it's going to be somewhere in between. And the first thing I want to explain is that work wins wages. Why does it win wages? Because win begins with a W and wages, and work began with a W, so it had to be win. So work wins wages. And this is something that is probably, even if you've never been to church ever in your life, this probably is a no-brainer for you. And that is basically that when you work, you get paid. I think for the most part, that is why most of you, if you have a job, have a job. You're not doing it typically just for the fun and the joy. Perhaps that's part of it. If you love what you do, I do. You know, it's great. But there's also that paycheck side of it, that you're doing it because you need to pay the bills and you need to eat and you need to have a roof over your head and transportation and care and clothing and care for your kids and all of that. And so when you work, you get what you earn. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, Paul wrote this. This is a letter he wrote to a church in Rome that he planted. And he says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. And, you know, I think that would be kind of obnoxious of your boss to be like, I know it's the second week of the month, and here you go. Good job. This is for you. I think I'm just such a great person that I feel you, here you go. Have this paycheck. You'd be like, dude, no, I worked my butt off for that, and I'll take it. Thank you. Like, you don't, that would be really obnoxious. And if you told your boss, like, thank you so much for giving this to me. It's been great. Oh, it's just so awesome. And you're like, he'd be like, what? Or she'd be like, what are you talking about? You're weird. This is your last paycheck. Thanks. You're fired. But, you know, because when you work, it's not a gift. It's something that you've earned. It's something that you have worked for and what something you have earned. And so I want to clarify something, because a lot of people think, especially, well, a lot of people in the world, in the United States, whatever, think that if you work enough, you can get to heaven. That if you work enough, if you do enough good, you can get to heaven. And Paul very clearly just says, hey, no, when you work, you just get what's coming to you. You get your payment. And last week, we looked at a verse that we're going to look at in a second here that talks about what that payment is. And again, we think about work, you get paid for what you do. Well, we have this genetic problem, and this genetic problem is our sin that we inherited. You did not catch it, and you're going to pass it on to your kids. It's a sin condition, and we'll come back to that in a little bit when we review. But we all have that same sin condition, and so therefore, any work we do is tainted by it. And because any work we do is tainted by it, we get paid for what we do. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. I have two different versions here, just to clarify it. In the NLT, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Meaning, what you get for working to get your way to heaven is death, because you're never going to make it, because your sin is tainting you. You cannot be in the presence of a holy God in heaven for eternity. So therefore, those who are tainted by sin go to hell. And hell is a place separated from God of eternal torment. It is an awful place to be. And like, that's an awful story. And absolutely right. I agree. And so did God. And that's what we're celebrating today. but we'll come back to that in a little bit. Over in the NIRV, the New International Reader's Version, it says, when you sin, the pay you get is death. And so if we're trying to work our way to heaven, all you're doing is digging a deeper grave, essentially. All you're doing is just doing more of the same thing because you are tainted by your sin, and therefore everything you do is not getting you closer to God. It's just continuing on the same thing because of the sin that we have. So it gets us what we earn. What the work we do gets us what we earn. What do we earn? Death. Physical, spiritual death, separated from God. So that's the first part. Work wins wages. You do your work, you get what you deserve. And for us, what we get, what we deserve is separation from God, is death, is hell. The second thing, and this is just to clarify this a little bit more, just in case you didn't get it, is that doing doesn't do it. Doing doesn't do it. You cannot do good enough to make your way into heaven. You can't do enough good things. You can't go to church enough to get your way into heaven. You can't give to other people enough to get your way, to earn your way into heaven. You can't do it. And in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, the first part, Paul continues, says, when they work, they get something that they have worked. Wages are not given, something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous or declared righteous. That's the word here. Or are justified, are said to be without sin. All those are the same thing. Justified, said to be without sin, counted as righteous, not because of their work. And so Paul says, look, work is just going to get you what you deserve. What do you deserve? Hell. You are not counted as righteous. You are not declared righteous. You are not justified. You are not declared not guilty, or you are not acquitted because of your work. So again, just in case you weren't sure, you can't do enough. You can't be good enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't give away enough. You can't think, hey, I hit Easter Sunday, boom, stamp that one. I'll hit Christmas, boom, I am in heaven. Sorry, it's not going to work. You can't do enough. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, this is a letter he wrote to a church that he planted in Ephesus. And he says, God saved you by his grace. And we're going to come back to that word in a little bit. It's a gift when you believe. You can't take credit for this. So it's not, you can't take credit for it because you didn't do it. It was a gift from God. Well, there we go. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. You don't get into heaven because you're good. Good people go to hell. We don't get into heaven because we're good. Doing doesn't do it. And he says so that none of us can boast about it. Because it's a matter that doing won't work. On week one, we talked about the idea of a batting average. And I screwed up the math severely. But if you, 100 times, you start your baseball career, and if you're not a baseball fan, then just pretend like you know what I'm talking about. I kind of am pretending I know what I'm talking about. So you're up to bat, you start your career, and you get on base. You are batting 1,000. Your first at bat, you're on base. Then you get up to bat the second time, and you get on base. And you do this for 100 times. You are still batting 1,000. You have a 100% average. But then say you're 101th. I probably screwed it up already. You're 101th. You get up to base, and you're out. And so now you no longer have a perfect batting average. And the crazy thing about this is that you can never get back to perfect again. And again, I don't know if you've thought about that. Like, we talk about a good batting average is somewhere in the 250s, right? So that's 25%. We talked about that the first week too. Like, if you take a 25% grade home to your parents and be like, look, I got a 25%. That's an incredible batting average. That's a really bad fail, okay? We've talked about, we have 4 kids. And, you know, if I can bat 250 with my kids when we leave somewhere, counting like, I got 1 out of 4 of them. Like, that's pretty good. Even if I batted 500, I got 2 out of 4 of my kids. That is an incredible batting average. But in life, it doesn't work that way. And so you could bat a million times more and you will never get back to perfect. And our sin has tainted us. And so we can never get back to perfect. Ever. You bat a million times, and if you have one out, you're, well, I probably could do the math on that. You're still going to be like 0.99, probably like six nines, something like that, would be your batting average, but still not back to 100%. And so we can't do our way to God. And just like you and I couldn't make arrangements with every country to prove your citizenship, like that would be impossible. But you don't need to do it because it's already been done for you. And so the third thing here is that faith finds forgiveness. So how are you forgiven? How are you justified? How are you declared not guilty? How are you declared right? It has nothing to do with what you do. It has nothing to do with how good you are. It has everything to do with your simple belief, your faith in Jesus. And in Romans 4:5, the second part of that verse, Paul says this: people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. That's all it takes. You're like, that's so easy. Like, yes, it is. Because it was too hard for us to do it on our own. We could never get there. So God did it for us. Over in Galatians 2, Paul writes this to the church he planted in Galatia. He says, we know that a person is not justified by the work. So declared righteous, declared not guilty, forgiven. You are not justified by works of the law, but by faith, simply believing. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So I hope you get it, that there is no way we can do this. And again, because of our sin, because of this infection we have, we are on our way to hell and everyone is destined for hell. And, you know, again, outside people are like, oh, I wouldn't love a God who thought that it was okay to send people to hell. I love a God who doesn't think it's okay to send people to hell. He didn't like it either. So he sent his son to die in our place, to take our sin, substitution, and give us his righteousness, justification. But it's not about being good enough. It's not about doing enough. It's simply about believing in what he has done for us. And that's it. He did the work. When it comes to the passport, all you need to do is apply. That's it. Boom, here's your passport. Welcome home. Now, obviously the illustration breaks down because you have to pay for a passport application. And, you know, some of you might be terrorists and you won't be given a passport. But I guess the beautiful part about it is that it's even better for us because we don't even have to complete the form. We don't even have to send in the money. We don't have to get that stupid photo that has to be the stupid perfect size. And you pay like $30 for them to go and print it out on a Polaroid. I don't know. So I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. But it's not about what we do. It's simply through faith. All we have to do is believe because he did the work for us. And again, the thing we need to understand is that all of this series, all that we're talking about, is about the legal side of all of this and how it's a matter of our legal record. Stop looking at it, okay? It's the legal side of things. And God is completely just. So he couldn't just go, you know what, let's overlook your sin. Let's ignore that. Again, using the baseball analogy, I'm sure this is really breaking down now, but, you know, you can't just get up to plate and you're like, okay, and now batting, Sean Fitch, who has a batting average of, wait, what? A perfect batting average. Like, no, you can't just change the rules. And God is perfect. He is just. So there's no way to change the rules. So he said, I need to fix the problem because you can't. I can't. God says, I'm going to fix it for you. And so all we have to do is believe. And so when it comes to this idea of declaring our destination, Jesus has done it for us. Your work, you can't do enough. All it's going to get you is further into hell, which is true, because you can't earn it. And doing isn't going to do it. You can't be good enough. You can't give away enough money. You can't say nice things. You can't be like, oh, well, you're a pastor, so I won't say bad words in front of you. That doesn't work, okay? The answer is through faith. Faith is how you find forgiveness. Simply believing. So, the point is, because of Jesus, our record says that we're sinless. All right, let's see, who do I have here? I need Levi and Chloe and Luke. Are you kidding me? I asked him last week. What? All right, I need someone that's going to be here the next 2 weeks. All right, Jay, come on up here. Okay. Man, I even asked his mommy. Okay. All right, congratulations, you're Jesus. Go over there. See, Luke lost Jesus. That's who he had. Okay. All right, so let's kind of review this whole thing. And Isaac, you can just hang there for a while. While I talk about this. As we said, our record is what matters. But there's a part of our life, our birth, that affects our inheritance, affects our record. And so we have Adam here, the very first person that was created. And Adam was actually technically not born. We said that a couple weeks ago. But he was created by God. When he was created, he was sinless. There was no sin. The world was perfect. They were in the Garden of Eden. He and Eve had a perfect relationship with God with no sin. But then they chose, and it wasn't just Eve, it was Adam and Eve, chose to eat the fruit that God told them not to eat. And so because of that, thank you, look at this, he's got the motions and everything, you got it down, you were here the first week. So, and because of that, now the record says, Adam's record says that he's sinful. And so because of that sinful record, he is now destined for hell. Because he cannot, sin cannot be in the presence of a holy, perfect God. And so everything was fine before. And even in Genesis 1, when we talk, or Genesis 2, technically, when we talk about creation, it says that they walked together with God because all of it worked. But as soon as sin happened, as soon as they chose to disobey God, they were sent out from the garden, sent out from the presence of God because of their sin. So Adam has a sinful record. Adam and Eve, there's this inheritance. All of their children are inheriting the genetic condition now. And it didn't, I mean, right away, we said this the last few weeks, right away, the first kids that they had, Cain and Abel, this sin thing, right away, one brother kills the other. And so that's the way things are. So Adam was that way. Now, all of Adam's descendants are you and I. We are his descendants. We descended from Adam. Adam was our great. I'm not even going to do that. But he was he and Eve were super far ahead of his descendants. And so we inherited the same genetic condition. And again, we said this wasn't like a disease that you catch. This is a genetic condition. It's in your DNA. It influences everything you have. You receive that from your parents and you pass it on to your kids. And so Chloe represents all of humanity. And humanity was born sinful. The moment we were born, we're sinners. You don't have to teach a kid how to be selfish. You have to teach a kid how to share. Like, it's because we were born that way. And our record, can you see over the table? Go a little higher. And our record now also says that we're sinful. So everything we do, so now we are, as humans, we are destined for hell. We are separated from God because of our sin, because our record is what matters. Then, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus enters the world. And Jesus was not born, he did not descend from Adam and Eve or from human parents. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And if you weren't here last week, you can go to mc3church.org/setting the record straight or listen to the point and listen to that, because we talked about why the virgin birth was a huge deal, because it meant that Jesus did not have the same genetic condition. And so Jesus was born, I'm going to have you move over here a little. Jesus was born sinless. He did not have a genetic sin condition because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary was just the host. She was just the carrier. She was just the pizza delivery guy. If you remember that from years ago, we talked about that at Christmas time one point. And because of that, Jesus was born sinless and his record said sinless. So he never sinned. And we looked at 1 Peter, said that Jesus never sinned. Nothing he did was wrong because he wasn't tainted by that. So he lived all of his life sinless. Then he went to the cross. And at that moment, he died in our place. He who had no sin became sin for us. We called that substitution. Now, I want to pause here and say that last week, just for the sake of understanding the concept, I shared something that wasn't 100% accurate, and I knew that. And that was that we said that Jesus took humanity's sinfulness. But that is not true, because this morning we've already seen that it doesn't just happen, and you can't earn it, and you can't be good enough. It comes through faith, through belief. And so, Alexis, if you would come up here. And just stand right there. Now, as a descendant, you're not a descendant of Jesus, but Alexis represents believers, those that have chosen to follow Jesus. And as a descendant of Adam, Alexis is born a sinner. We are all sinners. So these two categories are similar, but there's going to be a major difference here. Because at one point, when you choose to believe, of course, let me back up, your record also says you're sinful. Same thing with humanity. But when we choose to believe, not work, not earn, not try, not do good, when we believe, Jesus takes our sinfulness. He takes our sinfulness. And now he has that sin. And the Bible says that he bore those sins on the cross. He took those sins on the cross so that we could live for righteousness. And that's what we celebrate, we call Good Friday. Jesus dying on the cross. And I shared last week about how at the end there was this moment where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Father had to turn his back on his Son. God the Father had to turn his back on his Son because he was bearing the sin. He couldn't be in the presence of sin. Now, so this, Adam is passing this on to humanity. We call that condemnation. What Jesus did for believers, we call substitution. But the story isn't over, because today we talked about what Jesus did for us. He didn't just take our sin, but he gave those who believe his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might have the righteousness of God. And so our record now says that we're sinless. And so now everything changes. Because hell, heaven. Because Jesus took our place, taking our sin and giving us his righteousness. And this transaction is called justification. That we are now justified. Our record says that we're sinless. And because our record says that we're sinless, those who are believers have hope for eternity, have hope for heaven. And so that's the story. And the thing is that if Jesus not only was born sinless, and if he just died, as we ended last week, if he died and the story was over, then this is pointless. Like, seriously, let's go home and do something else. Let's go play in the snow or whatever's going on out there. But he rose again, conquering death, proving that he was victorious over all of it. And so now we, as followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have chosen to believe in what Jesus did on the cross, not do good things, but believe through faith, then you are considered, your record is sinless. Now, you're still a sinner. You're still doing sinful things, but your record is what mattered. You killed the guy, stuffed him in your trunk, but the courts declared that you are not guilty. And that's what matters. And so next week, we're going to wrap this up with one more concept of where this goes for us. But this is what it's all about. This is why Jesus came, to take our place and give us his righteousness. So thank you all. You guys can have a seat, and we'll bring you up next week. And yes. So that's the story of what happens. And so I just want to share a couple of things here real quick of what justification means. What does this mean for us? I mean, it's amazing. It's powerful, because if it didn't happen, we'd have no hope. If Jesus didn't come and die in our place, we would not have hope for heaven. But he did. And so, and I guess that leads to the first thing here. The first thing is that justification means that we're for heaven. That made more sense when I wrote it earlier. But we're for heaven. It's like, heaven is our destination. We can have hope if you have placed your faith in Jesus. Then you have hope. That no matter how awful things are here, no matter how terrible they get, there's something better for you. And next week we're going to talk more about that. And I'll just spoil it. The word we're looking at next week is called glorification. And it is how, as followers of Jesus, when we are in heaven, when we are with God in eternity, there's going to be no more tears, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. We will all be perfect. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've made that choice, we're for heaven. In John 3:16, very, very, you know, classic church verse. For God so loved the world, he loved everyone, that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And without Jesus, there is no hope. And that sounds cruel and heartless. And why would God do that? Because God is perfect and holy and just. And he's not just going to change the rules. Because we don't want a God that just randomly changes things. We want a God that we can believe and count on. And so, we no longer have to fear hell because we're for heaven. The second thing, and that's kind of the obvious thing. The second thing is that we're forgiven. And this, I just want to throw this out at you. Especially if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time. Because we're forgiven, we can be honest. We can be honest about our struggles. We can be honest about our failures. Because I think a lot of times we're like, I need to pretend like I'm perfect. No, you're not perfect. You're forgiven. And there's nothing that you are hiding that God doesn't know about and that God hasn't already forgiven. And I feel like sometimes as followers of Jesus, we kind of hide these things. We're like, I don't want to tell anybody. Or, oh, man, if God ever knew. Well, one, he already knows. But God already knows and said yes. And that's why I sent Jesus. And so we can just be honest. We don't have to hide. We don't have to carry these burdens of like, oh, I have to pretend like I'm perfect. I have to make sure everything is right. I have to lie about who I am. So let's just be honest. Let's be real. Your junk is ugly. Your poop stinks. And all of it, and mine too, all of it has been forgiven by simply believing in Jesus, justified. The stamp says, welcome home. In John, 1 John 1, John writes this. We looked at this verse a couple weeks ago too. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For you pretend you're not sinful, you're just lying to yourself. Get over it, be real. If we confess our sins, if we admit our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And you can't really see that. And purify us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing that you have done that is unforgivable. He's forgiven all of it. So let's just be real. Let's be real with one another. Let's stop posing. Let's stop faking it. Like, I'm messed up. I've got problems. You're messed up. You've got problems. And all of those issues have been dealt with on the cross by Jesus. So we're for heaven. We're forgiven. And then finally, we're free. So we can stop trying. And can I just talk to you that if maybe you've not decided to follow Jesus, that I think deep down inside there's this part of us going like, okay, maybe if I do this good thing, maybe I can try harder. Oh, I messed up there. No, that's not enough. And maybe, frankly, if you're following Jesus, you think these things too. That, oh, I need to earn back this love. Oh, man, I made a mistake last week, so this week I'll be twice as nicer. And we keep trying to earn this love. And if you believe, that's it. Then you're free. Stop trying. In Romans chapter 7, I love this passage. This is Paul. So if you don't know who Paul is, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He had an amazing encounter with God on this road where he was blind for 3 days and Jesus spoke to him. And he was a guy that actually hated the church, killed people and arrested people that followed Jesus. And God transformed him. And this is that Paul. He's an amazing story. He wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. And he says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You ever felt that way? This time, I'm going to do the right thing. Crap, I did the wrong thing. But this time, I'm going to do the right thing. I did what was wrong again. And Paul is with you. He is with us. He gets it. He is human too. Every time I want to do what is right, I do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. I love God. I want to obey. But there's another power within me that is in war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. I'm caught. What a miserable person I am. How awful. I'm just a terrible person. I am a loser. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? I was like, I want to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. Okay, this time I'm going to do the right thing, I still do the wrong thing. I'm such a loser. What's the point? Who can free me from this anyway? Thank God that the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. The answer is that you can't do enough. All you need to do is believe. We can't do enough. All we need to do is believe. So stop trying. Stop trying to earn God's love. In Romans 8, next chapter, Paul says, Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. So as a believer in Jesus, if you believe in what he did for you, you are no longer condemned. You have been declared not guilty. You have been justified. You have been declared as righteous, meaning you do not need to suffer the punishment for your sin because someone already did it for you. We're free. We don't need to have to keep trying. We don't have to keep working. We don't have to keep striving. And if you've been here at any time before, you've heard me say, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing. You're free. To stop trying. So justification means some things. It means we're for heaven. Like, we have hope. If you believe in Jesus, you have hope. You're forgiven. So we can be real with each other about our sin and our junk and the skeletons in our closet. And we're free so we can stop trying to make our way to be with God. And the point is that because of Jesus, our record says that we're sinless. So Isaac, I'm just going to hang out here. I'm going to skip the rest of this. I was thinking about kind of how do we wrap this up? How do we end this? And, you know, I had different ideas of, you know, maybe like someone has a stamp that could like, yeah, you're declared righteous. Or, you know, maybe a passport application. And I love doing fun things. But I just want to be real. Can I just say that this is the most important decision you're ever going to make? The decision to follow Jesus. And you can call me narrow-minded. You can call me, oh yeah, you don't really get it. You don't understand the real world. But I think I do. And I know that the real world is going to hell. And there's no hope. And then I serve a God that says, that is not good enough. And he said, I want to send my son to do what you can't. And so, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. If you're trying to be perfect to get to heaven, sorry, you lost. If you don't care and you're just wandering away, you're also, there's no hope for you either. But the hope is through Jesus. The hope is through His death on the cross. And everything this morning is celebrating the fact that that Jesus has won and that we've won. There's no more fear. There's no more worry. Like, it's not like, okay, Jesus, but, or, okay, yeah, I get that, and. It's simply believing in Jesus. And if you want to travel to another country, you need a passport. And all you need to do is apply. You apply and they say, welcome home. The government of the United States has declared that you belong here. And that's my prayer for you. Have you made the decision where God says, welcome home. Welcome to heaven. You belong here. We can't do it. He did it for us. Would you pray with me? God, this is, on one side, just heavy, heavy stuff. Deep stuff, looking into the sad story of us as humans, tainted with this genetic sin condition. We thank you, God, that you were not satisfied with that. That you didn't just walk away, but that you stepped in to the story. That you sent Jesus to die in our place. And thank you that his death took our sin, but it wasn't a matter of us then earning it or working hard or trying to do more or do good to earn that. But that all we have to do is believe because you did the work. And God, I pray for the people in this room, people that are listening to this, that they would realize the depth and the power of this decision. The decision to simply believe in what Jesus did for them. And at that moment, have their record declared clear, to be declared sinless, to be declared not guilty. And so I pray that that they would make that decision, God. This isn't something we are going to force. This isn't something we can scare or guilt people into, God. This is them realizing the depth of what you've done for us. And so we pray that that would happen, God. And for all of us that have made the decision to follow you, help us to stop trying to fake it. Help us to stop trying to earn it. But to just rest in those three words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Thank you, Jesus, that we have hope in the cross, but even more so in the resurrection. It's in your name we pray. Amen.